We'll get straight into it this morning, if that's okay. That is okay. I'm glad I have your permission. It's good to have pastor's permission. The title of my message this morning is Come and See. And we're going to read a passage out of Matthew, a little bit of a passage. So it's going to be on the screen. If you didn't bring your Bible, if you did bring your Bible, awesome. Otherwise, look on the screen. It says in Matthew chapter 28 that after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went back to look at the tomb. How would you like to be known as the other Mary? That's a pretty cool title. Who are you? I'm the other Mary. Awesome. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. You know, the law was written on stone. And it's interesting that when Jesus rose, the stone was rolled away. And his appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were afraid of him, were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen just as he said. Come and see." Everyone say, "Come and see." "Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." One more verse in Revelation chapter 1. These are the words of Jesus. He says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look." Say, "Now look." "I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." I preached a sermon many, many years ago. It was called The Seven Questions Jesus Asked. And it was, I had an idea of going through the New Testament and the Gospels and making a list of questions that Jesus asked people when he was in conversation with them. Things, you know, like, "Who do you say I am?" Those sort of questions. And so I preached a sermon called The Seven Questions Jesus Asked, and it was good fun. I had a thought a while ago. What are all the things that either Jesus commands people to do or people are commanded to do after Christ rises from the dead? And this is going to be a two-part kind of sermon. And part one today, I fear I'm going to stray into part two because I can't help myself a little bit today. So you may hear it twice, but that's okay because people forget the first time anyway. That's true, isn't it? Yeah. And the first thing that I found that stood out to me, the first thing people are commanded to do after Christ raises from the dead is to come and see, is to look, is to notice that he's not dead anymore, he is alive. And it reminds me of an evangelist, a traveling evangelist who was a bold kind of bloke. And every time he would come across somebody who had one of those, cross necklaces or a pendant or something, and you may have one this morning, but some people have one and it still actually has a crucified Christ on it. Some people just have an empty cross, but every time he'd see one with Christ actually on it, he would just, it doesn't matter if they're a stranger, if he was at the checkout or whatever, he would go, "What do you got that for?" And they would go, you know, religious or whatever. He goes, "Yeah, but he's not on there anymore. Why have you got him on there? He's not there. Yeah, that's old. That's done with. That's the past." And it's interesting to me that the Bible makes such a point over and over. You're going to see, we're going to go through a few scriptures this morning, over and over in every single gospel and then some. Everybody who hears about the resurrection of Christ is commanded, come and see. See for yourself. Have a look. He's not dead. He is alive. And we in the church and in many parts of different churches, we focus a lot on the cross, and there's nothing wrong with that because Jesus died for our sin, amen? He died for our sin. He was crucified, and the Bible records every single detail of it, and every single detail matters. The fact that he was pierced in the side matters. The fact that there was a crown of thorns on his head matters. The fact that he was bruised and whipped, it matters. The fact that he was spat upon, every single thing that happened to him means something for you and me. It redeems us of some kind of curse. It changes our life in some kind of way. And it's all good and we should never forget it. And we should focus on it. But if that's all we focus on, we're missing out. We're missing out because there is another command in Scripture, which is to come and see that he's not dead anymore. He is alive. He is alive. And my point this morning is going to be that if all we focus on is the death of Christ, that's great. You're going to feel forgiven. You're going to feel saved. You're going to feel set free, all those kinds of things. But there is another part of your walk with Christ that is dependent upon his resurrection. Upon his resurrection. Let's have a look at John's account. I read from Matthew. I read from Revelation. Let's have a look a bit about what John says. He says, so Peter and the other disciple, there's a lot of others getting around. There was the other Mary, now we've got the other disciple. They're not big on names sometimes. Started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. The other disciple is John, by the way, because John's writing this. He never names himself in his own gospel. He says, he bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb, because that's what Peter does. Peter doesn't wait for invitations. He just bowls straight in. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He what? He saw and believed. When did he believe? He saw and he believed. A few verses later, you know, we read in Matthew's gospel about Mary encountering Jesus. John gives us a bit more detail. He says, Mary ran into Jesus, thought he was the gardener, that kind of thing, because Jesus loves gardens. He says, Jesus said, don't hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Listen to that. Don't hold on to me. Don't hold on to me. I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. What was the news? The news wasn't Christ died for your sins. The news wasn't he was crucified. The news was I have seen the risen Lord. That's the message that was in her heart. That's the message that burnt in her heart and propelled her to go and evangelize, to go and spread the good news. It's not the fact that he was dead, but the fact that he was alive. Let's keep going. Let's switch over to Luke. Are we all right if we read a lot of the Bible in church? Is that okay? I could read other books if you want. We'll go with the Bible. All right, sweet. This is in Luke's account, and Luke covers some of the same things, but this is the road to Emmaus. And if you don't know, there was a couple of disciples walking along the road, and a stranger, well, they thought he was a stranger. To them, it was a stranger, came and started talking to them on the road and walking with them. And this is them telling the story to this stranger. And they're telling him about Mary, the two Marys and the women that had seen Christ. And this is what they said. They said, in addition, some of our women amazed us. That's a good line, isn't it? In addition, some of our women amazed us. I don't know, you guys don't see the humor in that? Okay. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb, that's Peter and John, we read about that, and they found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. So Peter and John didn't see Jesus. They just saw the linen, yeah? Who was it that saw Jesus? It was Mary who had seen Jesus. And this person, this stranger on the side of the road that's traveling with them said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And then he went with them And he sat down with them. They convinced this stranger to have a meal with them. It says, when he was at the table with them, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he began to give it to them. Their eyes were open and they recognized him, and then he disappeared from their sight. So these are the second people to actually see Jesus. They finally recognize, oh, this person we've been traveling with is the risen Christ. It says they got up and returned at once. There they found the 11 and those with them, and they assembled together, and it says, it is true. It is true. The Lord has risen. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and he said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. So now we've Mary seen Christ. Two guys on the side of the road have seen Christ. Now the disciples have seen for themselves. It's like it was important to Jesus. Not that they just saw an empty tomb. It was important to Jesus that they saw him alive and risen. I put it to you this morning that it's just as important for you and I, not just to have the vision and an understanding of a crucified Christ in our mind when we walk with him, when we worship, when we go into our workplaces. It's just as important for you and I to have a perception, an understanding, a conviction, a vision, an encounter with the risen Christ, because it does something for us that even the crucified Christ does not do. We need an encounter with the risen Christ. If it's okay, we're gonna go back to John. Who's heard of Doubting Thomas? We were discussing this at Connect Group a few weeks ago. What an unfortunate title to get, you know what I mean? Like, I reckon Thomas probably did some amazing things in his life. He probably performed miracles. He was one of the 11. We know he was martyred for Christ. He did this, he did that, but there's only one thing we remember Thomas for, right? You make one mistake, Doubting Thomas. And this is back in John's gospel. It says, now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. We just read about Jesus appearing to the disciples. Thomas wasn't there, according to John. So the other disciples told him, we have what? We have seen the Lord. Not that Christ is dead, but he is alive and we have seen him. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, it's like Jesus wasn't even there, but he just knows what happened. You know what I mean? Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Then Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. See, we are in that bottom category, aren't we? We didn't get to see the physical resurrected Jesus. You and I are those who have been blessed because we have not seen physically, but we have seen with the eye of faith. We have believed in our heart. We are convinced that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we have believed. And it's a good thing. You see, I think it's important that we have the vision and the conviction of the risen Christ and have it in the front of our minds all the time. Because as I said, the crucified Christ, what he suffered on the cross, we don't forget it, we don't discount it, we focus on it, it's good. You focus on that and you understand that I am saved. He died for my sin. He brought my healing. He redeemed me from slavery. He did all those amazing things. But that kind of Christianity that stops there, I believe, becomes insular. It becomes, we're all just gathered here and we're going to come and worship the crucified Christ and we're going to focus on all those things and that's all we're going to focus on. But it's actually, as you see in these verses, it's the encounter with the risen Christ that propels us out with a message. It's the encounter with the risen Christ that propels you out into the world and out with a fire and an excitement and an enthusiasm in your heart. It's actually the risen Christ that sends people out to go and tell. It's the risen Christ that says, come and see, go and tell. You see, crucifixion, like Jesus Christ wasn't the only person to be crucified back in the day. It actually happened to a lot of people. There's the story of an entire road Jewish people crucified along this entire road between cities as an example to the Jews for a rebellion and an uprising back in the day. So crucifixion, it was common. For the disciples to go out into the world with a message, Jesus was crucified. We think that's, he was crucified. But everyone else in those days, yeah, and? So was my friend John. So was Uncle Jimmy. I don't know if anyone was called Jimmy back then, but we'll go with it. If he was, he got crucified, obviously. So was, Barry and Larry and all these people. What's your point? He was crucified. Yeah, but he was crucified for your sin. Okay. Let's read the stories. It's actually not the message they went out into the world with. You don't believe me? Let's have a look in Acts, the first sermon. Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they speak in other tongues and they go out and they speak in other languages and people think, are they drunk and all that thing? We remember Peter's sermon and we focus on the part in Peter's sermon where he talks about this is the Holy Spirit that was promised and your sons and daughters will prophesy and that's all good, it's all true and it's all great. But let's actually have a look at the main point of Peter's sermon. Why did he stand up and what did he say to them? He says, fellow Israelites, it's like a good speech, isn't it? Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. There are people there who saw the miracles. You yourselves know these things. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. Yeah, we're all good with that. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep his hold on him. A little bit later in the same sermon, fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. What's his message? His message, the first ever sermon preached in the Christian church, the birth of the church, the message he took out into the world, 3,000 people joined their number that day, was not just Jesus died for your sins, not just, Jesus was buried. The message he came to bring was, but he was raised from the dead. And his rising from the dead is proof that he is the Messiah that David prophesied. David is dead. Moses is dead. Elijah is dead. But Jesus is not dead. And we've seen him. We saw him. I saw him. Mary saw him. John saw him. We all saw him. And we're here today to testify that he's alive and we've seen him. You think that's enough from Peter? No, he preaches another sermon, the next chapter. He's got a lot of sermons in him. Peter. What do you reckon the main thrust of that sermon might have been in Acts chapter 3? Acts chapter 3, as he heals the lame person on the way to the temple and everyone's gathering around. This is what he says, fellow Israelites. He likes to start his sermon with fellow Israelites. I might do that from now on. Fellow Micaiahites, okay? Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses of this. What is the consistent message that Peter and the early church brought to the world? It wasn't just that Jesus was killed. It wasn't that nails went through his arms and his feet and that was your sin being nailed to the cross. It wasn't that, you know, and all those beautiful things that we now know. I'm not sure that these guys understood that at the time. All the great unpacking of the legitimacy of Christ and the way that he was killed on the cross and how it lines up everything with the Old Testament, really that came from Paul's writings. It's kind of as if Paul figured all that out and made the connections between the Old and New Testament. In the early church, in Acts chapter 2, you don't see them making those kind of arguments. Maybe they did understand it and we just don't have it recorded. They went with one message. The message is his. This is how we know he was the Messiah. This is how we know that he has the power to save. It's the fact that he raised from the dead and we saw him alive. We saw him alive. Where's the worship team? It's good to have you with us, worship team. Come on up. I want to put it to you this morning that the Holy Spirit is here in the house, not just to convince you of the penalty that was paid on the cross and to continue to unpack that for you, even though that is one of the things the Holy Spirit does. One of the things the Holy Spirit wants to do for you and I is to bring a conviction and an encounter with the risen Christ and to have that in the forefront of our mind. The Christ that was crucified, the Christ that was nailed to the cross was necessary, won so many things for us. We commemorate it, we always remember it, we study it, it changes our life. We don't forget it, but we don't leave our Christianity there. We don't leave our walk with Christ there. Because people who leave their walk with Christ there, they don't get the sending part. They don't get the propulsion into their calling. They don't get the commission into the world. It's the risen Christ. After they've seen him, after they've encountered him, after they're convinced of his resurrection, it's the risen Christ that says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's the risen Christ that says, go and tell my disciples. Go and tell them that you've seen me. Go and preach the gospel that I'm not just dead, but I am alive. It's the ascended Christ in the book of Ephesians who says he gave some to be prophets and evangelists and teachers and apostles. It's the risen Christ that actually calls you into your calling. It actually commissions you. The encounter with the risen Christ does that. And I felt in the worship this morning the Holy Spirit was telling me that there are captains in the house this morning. There are leaders over 50, leaders over hundreds, leaders over tens and twenties. And it's actually the risen Christ that actually puts that call and that commission on your life. Your encounter with the victorious Christ, the one who's not on the cross right now, but is actually sitting at the right hand of the Father and has put all things where? Under his feet. Under his feet. The risen Christ brings victory. The risen Christ gives power and authority. The risen Christ commissions and calls you into action. You with me this morning? Why don't you stand to your feet? Sometimes I feel we've lost the same, I guess, excitement that those disciples had. That same energy and conviction that they had. Do you ever stop to think just how unbelievably amazing and fantastic this story is that we believe? We believe someone rose from the dead. They were dead, and now they're alive. If you're convinced of that, which I am, doesn't that fill you with some kind of like energy, like some kind of, this is unreal, this is awesome. I can't keep this to myself. You know, those disciples, you read your history books, every single one of those 12 except John ended up being martyred for their faith. They suffered such hardships. They were persecuted. They were driven out of town. They were, you know, some of themselves were crucified. And you think to yourself, what drove them to be so passionate, so zealous? Like, surely when faced with death, when faced with unspeakable pain, surely that's the time that if you're making this up, that's where you go, okay, all right, we didn't really see it. You know what I mean? Like, we just wanted to start our own little group here. It was a joke gone too far. It was a practical joke. It was a prank. But, you know, you can put those nails in that cross away now. Oh no, but these men, even unto death, were still saying the same thing. All of them. No, we saw him. We saw him. You kill me if you want. I'm not going to change my tune. We saw him. The message that birthed the church is the same message that propels the church today. He is alive. He rose from the dead. That is the same message that calls you into destiny. It calls you into ministry. It propels you to go into your workplace. It propels you to go into your school. It propels you to tell it to your family. No. He's alive. I've encountered him. Each one of you here this morning that believe in Christ, you're here because you've encountered someone who's alive, not dead. At some point in your life, you've had an experience you can't deny. He's not just in a book. He's not just a story. Something's happened to you somewhere where you go, oh, I know that I know that I know. And they can say what they want. They can do what they want. They can threaten me with whatever they want. I'll never deny it because I've seen it. I've seen it. He's alive. He's alive. This morning, if you need to, why don't you say, Holy Spirit, give me a fresh encounter with the risen Christ. Remind me that he's not dead, but he is alive and he sits on the throne. Convince me afresh. Fill me again with enthusiasm, with faith, with excitement. Holy Spirit, this morning we listen to your call. We listen to your commission. We're listening to the risen Christ who's appointing in this house teachers and prophets, who's appointing evangelists. Lord, he's sending people with that same commission today with power and authority to go and tell, to go and spread the gospel, to go and speak the truth. Father, we thank you. With that vision is coming endurance. It's coming perseverance. There is coming increased faith and boldness with that vision. In Jesus' name this morning, let's worship together.